Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Welcome back to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. We got 24 and a half more minutes of the program today. Again, thanks for listening to AFR. Tim, Ed, and now Steve Paisley Jordahl joins us in studio. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Tim.
Hey, Steve, a lot of college football fans on our staff here.
Yeah.
A lot of Ole Miss fans.
Yeah. They kind of split between Ole Miss and Mississippi State, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm a Mississippi State grad, and we're in the wilderness right now.
That's right.
We're wandering out there. We're looking for a pillar, you know.
You're not even getting any manna.
No, not getting any manna. Nothing. Just
there might be a golden calf or two.
Listen, our team is undermanned, but they're fighting like bulldogs.
There you go.
See what I did there?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. See what I did there? So they got a new coach and starting over, and but that's perpetually how we are. A new coach starting over with hope doesn't spring eternal. It's out there in the distance, and it never comes. No, they had Mississippi State had like 15 years of going to bowl games.
Yeah,
they just can't reach the top of the mountain because they're smaller budget. Anyway, I'm not here to talk about my school because I'm here to talk about my rival school, yeah. The Ole Miss Rebels. They beat the Georgia Bulldogs on Saturday.
And it was convincing fashion.
It was not even close.
The stadium is about an hour from my house, and I felt the ground move under me.
Right?
When Ole Miss beat Georgia, and the fans stormed the field on Saturday afternoon.
And then they just stayed there, didn't they?
They stayed there.
They took the goalposts down, right?
They're still there. They took the goalpost down.
That's become a trend. I was at the Vanderbilt game when that happened, Alabama-Vanderbilt.
Actually, that's kind of dangerous if you think about it, with all those people standing around, the big metal objects being, you know, pulled down by fans.
Yeah.
So
my kids always called me Captain Safety growing up.
Yeah.
So I would be the guy saying, everybody look out. Now, those are metal poles. I think you need to keep your distance.
Right. Oh, well, no. I think these people, a lot of them had like three beers already in their system. And so that they're not listening to that.
By the first quarter, three beers.
Yeah, that's right.
First quarter.
So anyway, it was a big win for Ole Miss.
Yeah.
And now your wife's school, the University of Alabama.
Yeah.
They beat the tar out of LSU in Baton Rouge.
They did. They did well.
And what schools are in the playoff position right now?
So 12 teams will get into the playoffs, and it's not necessarily going to be the top 12 of the AP. It's not just a cutoff. I think there's going to be some naming. They want some conferences represented, I believe. It's not going to just be the top 12.
Right.
Besides,
well, I know that.
There's
two
polls. There's the AP poll and the coaches poll, which don't always agree. So anyway, the AP poll out this week. Oregon is number one. Ohio State is number two. Oregon, 10-0. Texas, number three. Penn State is number four. Indiana at 10-0 is number
good
five.
Good for Indiana. Yeah. The Hoosiers.
Somebody new. I like new blood.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Yes.
Tennessee, number six. BYU at 9-0 is number seven. Notre Dame comes in at eight. And then Alabama, nine.
Ole Miss. The Mormons and the Catholics are back-to-back.
They are.
Okay, go
that
ahead.
That could be an interesting
I know. What if they square off?
I know. Alabama, nine. Ole Miss, 10. Georgia fell to 11, dropped nine spots.
Wow.
Georgia did?
Yeah, Ole Miss gained six. And rounding out the top 12, Miami is number 12.
And they lost a big
game. They lost. They dropped eight
Miami spots. Miami has lost one game, but they've been living on the edge almost weekly, winning barely. But anyway.
Well, good for Ole Miss. That's quite an accomplishment for, as you point out, a small state who basically splits their talent between two teams, two major schools.
Right.
So, congratulations.
I tell you who's about to get restless in that whole deal there.
Yeah.
The LSU fans, they're not used to losing.
Yeah, they're
three games already.
Is that Brian Kelly, the coach?
25. Brian Kelly. He's going
to
be former coach for long.
He dumped Notre Dame to go down there.
He did.
So, you know what?
And then he found out what the SEC's like.
Whatever happens,
I
want
to go back to Notre Dame.
Right?
I want to go back to play in the Air Force. I don't like having to play Alabama and Texas and all these people back to back. All right. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. What's your first story, Steve?
Before I go there, can I tell you, I was listening to you guys talk about offerings.
Yeah.
At the end of last hour.
Forced offerings.
Right. Too. I had a pastor friend who always wanted, he never did, but he wanted to do this, tell everybody, all right, stand to your feet. Now reach into the back pocket of the purse of the person in front of you and give like you've always wanted to give.
that's funny.
Oh, I've mentioned this before, but maybe some new listeners, people didn't hear it. But one of the funniest cartoons I saw about church was, it said how to increase your donations from your church members. Is that you pass the offering plate and you have it video on a big screen. you got the video on the big screen, right?
Yeah.
And you're following down the aisle as people put their check.
Either give or don't give.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so the whole church sees if somebody's putting a check in there.
But I have my tithe is automatically taken out of my, it's, you know, done electronically.
Right.
Yeah, that would work 10 years
ago.
In the old days.
Well, a lot of churches have, like our church has a box.
Yeah.
They don't even take an offering.
We don't even.
Right.
But here's the interesting thing. I got to thinking the other day, if my tithe is taken out electronically, if I don't think about it, am I tithing? Is it a sacrifice? I made it.
Make a decision.
I made a decision. Yeah. But sure. It's not like, anyway, first story.
Have you ever seen anybody make change in the offering plate?
No, I haven't.
I know, folks, please just be patient for a second. So this was just a couple of weeks ago. My daughter-in-law's family all went to church together. There's there's a reason for that, big event. And they were taking the offering, and the plate comes past my wife and I, and I've got two of our grandsons next to my wife. The plate comes by. It's filled with 10s and 20s, and it goes to the oldest of the grandkids who did, because they go to church where we go, and they don't pass an offering plate. He saw that plate being handed to him with all that money, and his eyes got big. And my wife said, no, you don't take anything out of it. Just pass it along. Because I think he thought, this is awesome. They're handing out money.
That's a lead us not into a temptation moment.
Right?
Right there for that little kid, huh?
Yes.
Because
his
didn't know.
Eyes got as big as quarters when he saw this big plate of cash coming his way. All right, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Go ahead, Steve.
So on my Twitter feed, the first several entries, I've got a young college kid who is leaving America goodbye forever because Kamala lost and Trump won. I've actually got, now this is being reported, I don't know who Joel Fisher is, but he's got a blue check mark next to his name, and he says, breaking, Kathy Griffin and Jane Fonda said they'll be moving to Canada due to Trump's win. I've got a lady.
That's a lie.
I got a lady who is in the hospital getting her tubes tied because the government took away her choice. So people are freaking out. Donald Trump has an ability to break people. He does. I don't know that he does it on purpose. I don't think he minds. But
right.
People just go absolutely crazy. I want to play you. This hit.
Well, evidently not enough of them because they lost pretty big.
That's true.
On Tuesday.
But the ones that did lose. I want you to listen. This is a compilation of just a couple of freaks. Now, I couldn't use the majority of the really angry ones because they were all just language,
you know,
real bad language. But so I want you to hear some of what came across my my Twitter feed as far as freakouts. Cut 12.
Yo, I'm scared to go to sleep. I might wake up a flame.
I'm done. If you voted for Trump, I think you're a loser. I think you're stupid. I think you're a moron. I think you're evil. I think that you deserve to die by my hands.
I say this in the most disrespectful way possible. If you voted for Donald Trump, if you are so sad about your groceries being expensive, get a better paying job.
I'm mad! What did y'all do?
Okay, so since Trump won the election, I'm going to be leaving the U.S. and I'm going to be moving to Hawaii.
That's hilarious.
I didn't see that one where he said, I'm leaving
is
the
U.S. Is that legit or is that a, did
no,
somebody being?
This was a dumb young person.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not, I'm not quite sure exactly.
I don't know how he identifies.
What's going on there, but listen, mental illness is alive and well in this country because, and listen, I'm not saying, please understand me, folks. I'm not saying if you voted for Kamala Harris, you're mentally ill. I'm saying whatever the percentage is, there is a large percentage of people in this country who did vote for Kamala Harris, but who bought what the mainstream media has been selling for the last, 9 years, and they really think we elected Hitler. And what was that first lady?
That first lady was a black, young black lady, college age or so, that was crying and scared to go to sleep because she was afraid she'd wake up a slave.
See, that's what I'm saying. That is mental illness. That is someone being so terrified by propaganda that she can't go to sleep. She thinks she's going to be literally made into a slave because of the election of.
He breaks people. No one did this for Bush.
What I'm saying is part of the blame has to be laid at the feet of all these talking heads that we see on The View and MSNBC terrorizing people with all these stories.
In fact, I was just talking this morning with Congressman-elect.
Congressman-elect or Senator-elect?
Well, Jim Banks is a Senator-elect, but also on our air, we frequently talk to Jeff Crank, who's a friend of mine from Colorado. He's a political commentator, but he won election. He's going to Congress as a congressman from Colorado, and he said the same thing. He said, man, with the echo chamber and the social media out there, it just drives people crazy.
If I didn't know Jesus, I would barely be able to look at X.
I know.
And to go down, scroll down through comments. Because the amount of hostility and anger and the insults that are flying around, if I couldn't take a break from that and trust that God has his hand on this country, like a lot of these people you just played, they don't believe in God. They think this is it.
So did you?
Well, they lost Tuesday, those people, and they're just going to have to get over it. Or not, right? Or go to a mental home.
Yeah.
They're going to have to get over it because the majority of the American people didn't like the direction that Biden and Harris had taken and were taking the country. And they wanted to bring back President Trump and what they knew under him. So,
yeah. Did you guys hear about the FEMA worker in Florida that instructed her team to bypass any house that had a Trump sign in the yard?
In terms of helping them after
no FEMA help for anybody that supports.
Is that true?
Yes, it is.
How do we? What's the story on that?
She was identified.
Yeah, FEMA manager. Her name. I got her picture here. I'll find the name, but she was. She wrote it down. Told her people not to service any houses that had Trump.
Deanne Chris, that's the administrator.
Yeah.
So we're weaponized. The left is weaponizing FEMA.
Marnie Washington.
So she worked for FEMA on the ground in Florida, hurricane, post hurricane.
Yep.
And she writes an email or wrote it down in a handwritten?
It was a text.
A text where she tells her people under her, don't help anybody who has a Trump sign in their yard.
Exactly. And then they did because it says the government employee told Daily Wire that at least 20 homes with Trump signs and flags were skipped by the end of October and November due to the guidance, meaning they were not given opportunity to qualify for FEMA assistance. Images shared with the Daily Wire show that houses were skipped by workers who wrote in the government system message such as Trump sign, no entry per leadership. And so FEMA is all over themselves apologizing. So who's fired this lady? And
they fired her?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
How dumb is Washington. That to do that kind of thing? Huh?
Yeah. Yeah, it does show what we're kind of talking about,
yes.
The kind of brainwashing that's happened, that you would think that you have the right to skip.
Listen,
Americans who need,
go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, that you could skip Americans who need help just because they had a Trump sign in their yard.
Okay, so when people say you're too paranoid about the weaponization of the federal government against conservatives, which you can go back to Lois Lerner.
Yeah.
You can go back before that probably, but remember that?
IRS.
The Internal Revenue Service, and she was the director, I don't know if she was a director over IRS total or she was a division director.
She was down the ladder a little.
She was a lefty, and she was suppressing, she was denying people, organizations, a tax exempt status based on the words in their application, like patriot. Remember that?
Yeah.
And she when she was called to testify before the Congress about this, she pleaded the Fifth Amendment.
She said, yeah, no comment.
I don't know how a federal government employee using federal tax dollars, when asked to be accountable for their words and actions, can plead the Fifth. That's pretty stunning to me. I would say, no, you can't plead the Fifth. You know what I'm saying? That's on a personal level. Anyway, so, but now we hear these stories, the FBI going after Mark Houck, the pro-lifer. Yeah. This doesn't happen every day, but you hear these stories. And in this case, and a lot of this persecution of conservatives probably never gets reported because it's never uncovered.
Right.
And in this, but this situation, this lady wrote, sent a text out. How dumb is that?
And this was in what's called a best practices memo to employees. I'm reading now from the New York Post story, a copy of which was obtained by Daily Wire. So I'm guessing this was leaked probably by someone who's a Trump supporter or somebody who just thinks this is wrong. But she wrote this in a memo to employees and then also gave the direction verbally, according to the report released by FEMA. So
anyways, they fired her.
Yep.
Yeah.
But I'm listen, had Trump not won Tuesday and the Republicans not done as well as they did in the Senate races, but particularly Trump's election, if Harris would have won, I'm just telling you, this kind of persecution against conservatives by the federal government would have ramped up.
Yes, that's absolutely
exponentially
true.
And there wouldn't be a lot you can do to stop it.
We talked about this before the election. That was my main reason for voting Trump. I mean, there's tons of them, but that was what scared me the most.
Yeah. Anyway, next story.
All right, can we talk foreign policy? Did you guys hear the Justice Department on Friday announced charges in a thwarted Iranian plot to kill Donald Trump? The arrest of a guy named Farhad Shakiri and two Americans, Carlisle Rivera and Jonathan Lodholt, who helped. And they were tasked by the Iranian National Guard to get Trump.
Where did they arrest these people?
Farhad Shakiri is at large in Iran somewhere. He's been charged, though. And two others were arrested in New York. The Americans.
Is the FBI?
Justice Department. Yeah.
So they what you're saying is they basically broke up or what do you call it? Discovered an assassination plot against President Trump
by a foreign government.
Well, that
isn't some deranged little kid like before. Maybe the kid. Who knows? He had cell phones and bank accounts. It might have been.
Who knows?
Another plot.
But I just think. Now, will President Trump's President-elect Trump, I should say, will his Secret Service detail kick up now to being as
they before he was elected, they had kicked his.
But it needs to be just as if he were president because he is president-elect.
It was.
Okay.
And if they're smart, and some people say they're not that smart, but he's far more threatened, even as a sitting president, than was Joe Biden or anyone before.
How do you know that?
Well, just because of Iran, for one, and he's been assassinated, the attempts on his life, too, and You know, they have other plots. So he's threatened more than other presidents. So I think he should have more coverage than normal, even for a president. But did you hear?
By the way, I don't necessarily disagree with you. I just wanted you to answer that question, because people might say, how do you know?
No, well,
you know, because there are bad actors around the world who would like to take down any United States president. You know what I'm saying?
Right. I suppose.
But Trump.
But I mean, Iran knows that, because Biden, they were living large under Biden.
That's true.
Them all kinds of money and concessions. Right. And Donald Trump is going to cut off the spigot.
That's true.
And
do you know, by the way, I wrote a feature story for the Stand magazine.
I did not know that.
Well, yeah. now I'm getting interrupted on both sides of me here.
I don't interrupt.
So I wrote a feature story for the Stand magazine here. I think it's the one that's out. Anyway, I was doing some research, because the genesis of it was the attempts on President Trump's life.
Right.
I did not realize this, but since the assassination of John F. Kennedy, the FBI and Secret Service have uncovered plots against every president since then.
Yeah.
Every president since then. So it is a dangerous job, simply because people's anger and hatred has ramped up.
That's why they have a Secret Service.
Yeah.
And so to protect the president.
So President Trump's been on the phone with Vladimir Putin, and he warned him not to escalate the fight in Ukraine. The sources say Trump's message was, don't escalate because I have weapons too.
Who heard this conversation?
The source. This is being reported by Axios, which is a reputable news service.
What does that mean?
He means, well, you know, remember he said he was going to solve this because of his good relationship with Vladimir Putin. But it's a walk softly and carry a big, well, walk loudly and carry a big stick with Trump. So this was reported.
Okay, I'm just reacting in real time here, hearing that for the first time. I don't like the way that sounds.
Yeah.
Because it sounds like that's getting the United States, threatening to get the United States directly involved in a war between Ukraine and Russia.
You certainly could read that way, but Trump has figured this was his MO the first time. He told he would speak boldly to world leaders, and knowing that they weren't going to do anything, you know, certainly Iran was on that list. I remember him talking, and the certain terrorist groups. I remember there's a story about him going to a terrorist leader and saying, don't you dare touch anybody's skin. If you do, we're coming for you. And he handed him a satellite picture of his house, the terrorist leader's house.
Yeah. Well, listen, the hard part was, well, the first hard part of what President Trump engaged in was coming back from the dead. and politically speaking, and it's one of the most miraculous stories in the history of American politics.
It is.
His career was done after January 6th, and then here he is now president-elect. So, but now the other hard part starts, because he wanted to be president. Well, be careful what you wish for.
Now you got to govern.
Because now you got a host of issues, both on the world scene and domestically, to deal with. Now, he is, I think he's capable, if he puts the right team around him, to successfully deal with all these problems.
And I don't think they're going to be taken by surprise like they were in 2016.
Right.
They know what they're dealing
with. That's right.
The swamp.
Thank you, Steve.
My thanks to
Ed, Fred, and Brent Creeley, our producer, Tony Perkins, who was on with us. Have a great day, everybody.